Well, join me in Bible study tonight. Please open up to Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 1, and put a finger there. Sometimes there are questions and issues that come up over and over again during a week. And I start getting the idea then that maybe I'm supposed to talk about it. And not only did it come up in questions over and over, but it also came up in teachings that I was watching. And last week, Daniel made a statement as we were in Romans chapter 11, what does that do to once saved, always saved? And that kicked off people thinking. And ultimately, the issues came down to who is written in the book of life. So we want to look, or at least I want to look, at all the scriptures on the book of life to see who is written, because it's so very important. Are you going to heaven if you're not written in the book of life? The answer is no. That's why it's so important. And I was listening to two different teachers over the last 24 hours that talked about this topic. One is one who's intimately familiar with the Dead Sea Scrolls and does a lot of his teaching from the Dead Sea Scrolls rather than the Bible. But the issue that they were asking him about was the rapture. Did he believe in a pre-tribulation rapture? And he said, absolutely. And then the one asking the question said, so you believe believers will be caught up to heaven? He said, no. He said, no, the church will be caught up to heaven. It's not individual people. It's the church as a whole. And the person asking the question essentially said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, if ever in your life someone has told you that Jesus was crucified, buried, and resurrected, and you say, well, okay, I believe that, then you're going in the rapture, and you're going to live eternally, you're saved, nothing you can do to unsave yourself. And even the person asking the question was going, are you sure that's what the Bible says? And then today, another very well-known theologian that teaches at the seminary level and is widely known and respected was asked about the book of life. And two things that he said caught me particularly hard. One was he was looking at a scripture that says, talking about those who get removed from the book of life. He said, well, that doesn't mean that you can lose your salvation. It means that every person ever born is written in the book of life. And when you die without having come to faith in Jesus, your name gets removed. And then the very next verse was about those whose names were never written in the book of life. He said, well, that's easy because the book of life only contains the names of those that are saved. And I don't think he realized that in 2 minutes, he gave direct opposite interpretations. And that made me think, since that question keeps coming up, who is written in the book of life, maybe we should take a few minutes and talk about it. So, we're going to look at every scripture that I have found in the Bible about the book of life. Where do you think the first place is? What's that? It's actually Exodus. You're very close. Exodus, yeah. Exodus chapter 32. So it's introduced very early in the Bible. Exodus chapter 32, beginning in verse 32. Exodus 32, verse 32, and we'll go on to verse 33. Once I see that everybody has found it. This is Moses speaking to God, pleading on behalf of the children of Israel. He says, yet now, if you will forgive their sin, talking about the children of Israel who made what? A golden what?
Calf.
But if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written. The Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. So the speaker said, you can't learn anything from these verses except that there's a book. Really? How do you get blotted out of the book?
Your name has to be in the book.
Well, your name has to be in the book. and gets blotted out because of sin. Yeah, it's not an occasional oopsie. It's things like, well, you make a golden calf and worship it, and well, you've done bad. Go to Psalm 69. Psalm 69, because those two verses in Exodus 32, verses 32 and 33, are not enough to draw a solid conclusion. So let's go to Psalm 69, verse 28. Are these psalms more than just songs? The answer is yes, they're prophecy. And this one's a prophecy by David. Psalm 69, verse 28. Speaking about whom? The unrighteous. Those who turn their backs on God. Those who will not hear when God speaks. Look at verse 27, but first, back up to 24. Pour out your indignation upon them. Does that give you an idea who he's talking about? Are these God's servants, his children, or are these his enemies? His enemies. And let your wrathful anger take hold on them. Verse 27, add iniquity to their iniquity. Iniquity is lawlessness. What did Messiah say in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23 about those who practice lawlessness? I never knew you. But if we go down to verse 28, it says, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. So this tells us who is written in the book of the living? The righteous. And a verse that Daniel likes to cite in the book of Ezekiel says what? If a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, then his righteousness will not be remembered. So that's what this is saying. They were in the book of the righteous, but they've turned from their righteousness. They turned away to worship idols, to walk in sin, to walk in lawlessness. Now let's go to Daniel chapter 12.
Even Yeshua's parable of the types of seed.
Yep, the parable of the sower.
Yeah, fit right into what the Old Testament is saying.
Yeah.
You do have faith springing up in people, and then it dies.
Yeah.
Or they turn away.
Are you telling me that the Old Testament and the New Testament teaches the same truths?
Unfortunately.
Okay, you're absolutely right. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, what time? 3 o'clock in the afternoon. No, it's the tribulation period. Michael shall stand up. Michael, Michael in Hebrew, who is like God. He is an archangel. Very powerful archangel. The great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. This happens in Revelation 12, at the middle of the tribulation period. There should be a time of trouble. What do we call that time? Jacob's trouble from Jeremiah 30, verse 7, or the tribulation period. Such as never was since there was a nation even to that time. And at that time, during that period we call the tribulation period, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who's found written in the book. So which portion of those written in the book of life will be delivered? All of them. So what does that tell you about the people written in the book? Is it every person who was ever born? Unfortunately not. So let's skip up to the New Testament.
Wait, what's that verse?
That verse, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1.
And all of that was in that first verse?
Yes. All that was in the first verse.
All right. Big verse.
Isn't that a pretty cool verse? Yeah. So far we've looked at Exodus 32, verses 32 to 33, Psalm 69, verse 28, and Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And now we're going to the book of Luke. All the rest of the references are in the New Testament. There's 12 references total.
Wayne, could you tell us real quickly what the chapter and verse is in Ezekiel that Daniel likes to quote?
Let me flip back there real quick. Ezekiel 18. Well, my Bible just falls open here too. Verse 24. But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, that's lawlessness, that's not an occasional oopsie, and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? The answer is implied, no.
Also, would you look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 16?
Yep, can I finish this verse first?
Yes.
Then we'll come back to that. All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed, because of them he shall die. And then you said Malachi what?
3:16 and 17. Ah,
Malachi 3:16 and 17. We know them well, don't we?
It may be a different book. I'm just curious.
Let's go to Malachi 3, verses 16 and 17. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him. That's not the same book. That's the one that I call the book of deeds.
Okay.
So it's the remembrance of what you have done compared to what you should have done. But it's not the same book. Okay. So let's go on to Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Luke chapter 10. Verse 20. Nevertheless, what color are these words? They're red. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that is, that you have the power to trample on serpents and scorpions, etc. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven, written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So what does it mean to be written in heaven? To be written in the book of life is to be?
Saved.
To be what?
Saved.
Saved. Looking forward to eternal life. Correct. Go on to Philippians. Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So when Paul refers to these people that are his fellow laborers in the gospel, and say their names are in the book of life, what's he telling us about them? They're saved. They're righteous. They're on that narrow path to eternal life. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 5. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. What word keeps coming up over and over again in Revelation 2 and 3? He who overcomes, which is defined for us in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. And this is a promise to the overcomers, those that are saved by faith. It says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. What do the white garments represent? The righteousness of the saints, right? And I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. This is where the theologian started to contradict himself, saying, it looks like your name can be blotted out of the book of life, like you can lose your salvation. He said, but you got to understand, everybody's written in that book. Is that what we've seen so far in the verses up to this point? No. Well, he added to that. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. He said a lot of people think that Hebrews chapter 6 says that you can lose your salvation, but he said that's because they don't understand it. it conflicts with our doctrine of once saved, always saved. Therefore, I can't mean that. So here's what it says in verse 4, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. He said, this isn't talking about believers. It's talking about unsaved people who were never in the book of life in the first place. Who became partakers of the Holy Spirit. You don't get that as unsaved sinners not walking in the ways of God, do you? Yeah, and his point was this exactly, that once you've had the gospel explained to you and you've looked upon Jesus' face and you reject him, that you can never be saved after that. You get one shot. And once you refuse him, you can never be saved. What does Revelation 7 say is going to happen in the tribulation period? Who's going to get saved? Countless multitudes. Okay, I'm not meaning to pick on him. I just know people are listening because he's very well known. Let's go next to Revelation chapter 13, which is the next place this book is mentioned. Revelation 13, verse 8. Verse 8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Who do you think the him is? The false Messiah or Antichrist or beast of Revelation 13. Whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If everyone's name is written in the book when they're born, then what would it possibly mean, whose names have not been written in the book of life? They were never in it. Why were they never in it? Because they were never saved. And this is what was really giving him trouble, is if only the saved are in the book and you can be blotted out of the book, then how does that not conflict with his doctrine? And he put doctrine over Bible.
In other words, I think there have been some theories saying that everybody, when they're born, is put in that book.
Right.
They're blotted out by their iniquity.
Right. And that was his point on Revelation 3, verse 5.
But what you're saying is you've got to be saved to be in the book to begin with.
Right.
Is that, am I understanding?
Yes, you're understanding me correctly. Because notice,
if you turn away.
Right. In Revelation 13, 8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life. They've been born.
Yeah.
If every name's written in the book of life when they're born, then they would have been written in the book of life.
Right. And they would have said whose names were blotted out.
Right.
So, yeah.
But it says they were never there. So either they were never born. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes.
I mean, just something I was talking about.
Good and loud.
You know, like babies, for example.
Babies.
You know, we know, like, a baby, when they die, they're going to go to heaven. You know, so it makes me wonder if the whole book of life does not really come into effect necessarily until somebody comes to an age.
You mean, yeah. Yeah, I have to agree with that. There's not a verse I can point to in Scripture other than the book of Deuteronomy, how God didn't hold the young children accountable for the sins of those in Israel.
I mean, that's just
but conjecture. I believe it.
That's just conjecture, you know, just kind of based on what I'm noticing here in the Scripture. You know,
and the fact that Messiah said, if you don't come to me like a little child, you'll by no wise enter the kingdom of heaven.
Right. So, I mean, you know, like when someone reaches that age of accountability, God has said, all right, make a choice.
Yeah. Yep. And also in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, it talks about before the child's old enough to know good from evil.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that just kind of echoes what Moses said, you know, set free life and death, choose life.
Right.
And it's called the book of life.
Right. I agree with you.
Wayne, it's
yes, Edmund.
Always occurred to me that bit about unless you're like a child. He then goes on to say, for their angels do always behold the face of my Father.
Yep.
And that implies that when you're talking about the age of responsibility, lots of debates about that all over the place.
Right.
But it does imply to me that if he's linked it to unless you become like a child, that means that, you know, there comes a point about, by default, if they were to die as children, perhaps that's where people get mixed up with this idea of everybody being written in the book of life to start with, that children, as it were, I mean, the whole Jewish thing about Yom Kippur, I can't remember what the greeting goes, but may you be written in the book of life for this coming year, you know, the blessing. I can't quite remember how it
that's the
goes
feast
in Hebrew.
Yeah, that's the Feast of Trumpet that Blessing, Leshana Tovata Katevu.
Yeah, that's obviously, although it's not biblical as such, but that whole tradition is pointing to something further back, it would seem to me.
Yeah. And it's not pointing to that may you have been born once upon a time.
No.
You're right, Emmett. So we have, let's just look again, Revelation 3:5, which says, I will confess your name, but I will not blot his name from the book of life. I will not blot his name, the overcomers. Compare that to Revelation 13:8. All who dwell in the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Let's add to it Revelation 17, verse 8. Revelation 17, verse 8. Oops, I see a number one out there. Let me check and see what it is. Yeah, there are people who teach all kinds of things. Yep. Revelation 17, verse 8. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell in the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. So another instance, it refers to those who will marvel after the false Messiah are those whose names have never been written in the book of life. Then Revelation chapter 20, verse 12.
Okay, wait. I'm a little bit confused. So in the tribulation, do those people that get saved, the multitudes upon multitudes get saved in the tribulation, do they get their names written in the book of life then?
Sure. Those who get saved in any age get written in the book of life. You broke up. Did I answer your question?
I was confused. I think you're going too fast and my poor brain is slowing down and grasping on, but I appreciate it. I think you're right. Thank you.
Sorry, I will try to slow down. When I get excited, I know I speed up. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. Revelation 20, verse 12. The next one will also be in chapter 20, so don't close the Bibles too quickly. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And then in verse 15, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. So what if your name has been blotted out of the book? Where's your destination? The lake of fire. So you have to think. The scriptures have from Exodus 32 talked about the righteous are in the book, the lawless are not. Two more. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. talking about the new Jerusalem in the new heavens and the new earth. One of two eternal destinations. What's the other one? The other one is the smoking section, right? The lake of fire. So Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. But there shall by no means enter it, that is the new Jerusalem, anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So those that are defiling, an abomination, a lie, are they written in the Book of Life? They are not. Does the Bible make a clear distinction between those that are written and those that are not? It does, in fact. Told you there's just one more. Revelation chapter 22, verse 19. Yeah, we're getting to the end of the Bible, aren't we? We'll start in verse 18 for context, because this is pretty cool stuff. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. That's not a veiled threat, is it? No veil whatsoever. Yes, Matthew.
There are some religions
that you will not name that take things out.
It's talking about this directly.
There are whole series of Bibles that took things out of Revelation 22 and put in other things.
Let's just say other Christian.
Yeah. Well, he put air quotes around it. You just couldn't see it because he's sitting behind you.
I want to be nice.
Yeah, I understand.
Let me point out one thing. At least you can confirm this. All of these scriptures are taking absolutely no account of time. It's as if everyone, even though they died 4,000 years ago, they are aware of everything going on, just as we are, just as those who are dead in Messiah are. So it's like, it's almost like a picture painted all through Scripture of life eternal.
Yep. I keep hearing people say that come the rapture, people who got saved since Messiah's death, burial, and resurrection get to go in the rapture and resurrection. That people in the Old Testament, they got to wait till 1,000 years are over. This book of life was started where? At the foundation of the world, all the way back in Genesis, even though it's not discussed until the book of Exodus, when Moses writes about it, does he say the book of what? No, he doesn't.
He says that makes sense.
The book of life, salvation has always been by
faith.
It's never been by any other way. And Messiah has been the lamb slain from when?
Foundation.
The foundation of the world. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 15 and following, where God discusses the results of eating from the wrong tree, God promised the seed of the woman, that's our Messiah Yeshua. He made the promise of the coming Messiah to Adam and Eve. Did they believe God? If they did, that's called faith. Saved by faith. Now granted, it was saved by faith in God's promise that Messiah would come. Did Messiah come? Yes, he did. We look back on it, they look forward to it. What did Messiah say in John 14, 6? I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me.